They're all in one life sequence. That's not possible. You mean the when they all belong to one sequence? So when they all belong to one sequence, so the first group of three is the same, but then the second group of three is craving, grasping, and becoming. And then after craving, grasping, and becoming, then comes birth, name and form, and then name and form up to feeling is the same, so that group of four. And then after feeling, and then comes old age and the death. But old age and death, no, it does actually start the moment after after birth. Well, link number 12 is aging and death, but where it actually starts is it starts, well, the moment after conception one starts to age. Yes?
Is there a person that was the first one to talk about this? In other words, did the Buddha teach this, or was this subsequent to the Buddha?
No, the Buddha taught that many times, yeah, yeah. Both groups, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Well, thank you.
But I think it really, if one helps, so if one knows the first, the if one knows this this version where they all belong to one sequence, and then when then also the one that is explained in the Lamrim, it makes more sense. It's easier understood, perhaps.
And once again, the only way to interrupt this sequence is through the extinction of ignorance.
Yes, yes, yes. That's the only way to do it, yes. So the realization of emptiness is crucial. So it is essential. So then, how many of the 12 links are mental afflictions? Well, let's leave maybe all of them. No, strictly speaking, out of the 12 links, how many links are mental afflictions? That's it. Ignorance and craving and grasping. Yeah. So the dependent link of ignorance and craving and grasping, they are afflictions. And then how many of the 12 links are karma? Sorry? Jennifer? Our latest, our new translation, so we give a new translation for Duce, is Jennifer. So the compositional factors.
Compositional factors and.
They are karma.
Well, karma is created through that.
But that's not my question.
Yeah. Would being born be considered karma?
No.
No.
No. It's good we do the process of elimination. Hmm? So compositional factors is karma. So that one we had already. And then? That's the only one? Yeah. Antonio is starting to feel left out. Yes? Karma. So out of the 12 dependent links, we have 3 afflictions and 2 that are karma.
So what are affliction and karma in the context of the Four Noble Truths? Yes, so affliction and karma are the cause of suffering, so the truth of origin. So then we have 7 remaining links. So what would they be? So the remaining 7 links, they would all belong to the truth of suffering. You know, I have a question for you. It's like, you know, on who is going to be a millionaire. how many of the 12 links, you know, if any, are contained in the 3rd and 4th Noble Truth? So, you know, Oh, really?
Oh, no. But
we already said that karma and afflictions are the cause of suffering.
Yeah.
So So is karma and afflictions. So we have the 12 dependent links. So is any of those 12 dependent links contained in the 3rd or 4th Noble Truth?
Because you have to, you have to remember that the 12 dependent links, they explain the way how one is circling in cyclic existence. So, there are factors that keep us in cyclic existence. One can argue that karma does not equal the dependent link of karma. That would be correct. So in the monastery, if you say, if it is karma, it is not necessarily the dependent link of karma. That's correct. But is any of the 12 dependent links contained in the third or fourth noble truth? Consciousness? Why is that?
Excuse me? I really have a hard time understanding you.
I have a debate question for you, for everybody. Not you can be you, but anybody. If it is consciousness, is it necessarily the dependent link of consciousness? No. For example. Well, since you said no. If it is consciousness, is it necessarily the dependent link of consciousness? Immediate no. So why? So the consciousness that directly realizes emptiness. Yes. What? No, that would be only in the mind only school. You lose your consciousness?
Yeah.
I don't hope so. Well, one should hope that. No. So the direct realization of emptiness is a consciousness that is not contained in cyclic existence. So it's a very, very special type of consciousness. So we can't understand. So if it is consciousness, it is not necessarily the dependent link of consciousness. No, that's correct. If it is consciousness, it is not necessarily the dependent link of consciousness. Yes? Excuse me?
If we are evolving well, then sending those links in order to evolve.
We don't really evolve in the 12 dependent links. We are imprisoned in the 12 dependent links. The key to the prison is the wisdom realizing emptiness. None of them are present. No, cannot. Cannot, because by its very definition, the truth of the path has to be something that is completely untainted by cyclic existence.
And the 12 links, you know, they're that what binds us to cyclic existence. No, but just because one is on the path, does that mean that one has attained the truth of the path? No. For example? Mm. That a bit. Okay, good question. What is the truth of the path? Is it a...
Right.
Yeah? Are you sure?
It's the method for attaining
liberation. It's the what?
The method for attaining liberation.
Mm-hmm.
The teachings.
Yeah. Can any kind of teaching free us from cyclic existence? No. So then how can it be a truth of the path? What can free us from cyclic existence?
Oh, abandoning
the cause of suffering. Yeah, so how do we do that? How do we do that? What do we need? What is the tool? Yes, and what is the antidote? What? No, yeah, not just any realization of emptiness, the direct realization of emptiness. So that's very important. So we need to have the uncontaminated realization of emptiness, the non-dual transcendental wisdom realizing emptiness. So that's very good to keep in mind that so in the stricter sense, so in a more easygoing sense, we say yes, so Dharma in general is the truth of the path, but in the actual restricted sense, that's important, I feel, for our practice. You know, we need to understand that really the only... There's nothing else that will set us free from cyclic existence. You know, the only mental state that can free us from cyclic existence is the non-dual transcendental wisdom realizing emptiness. Oh, no, that's not correct. No, gods can realize emptiness. Yeah, sure. It's only one needs to be a human to realize emptiness directly. No, like to realize and to generate the direct realization of emptiness newly. For that one needs to be a human. Then if then after that one takes rebirth in the God realm, no one doesn't lose that. Yes. Six. I'm just... No, that's not... That has nothing to do with it. No, first of all, you know, don't throw the realization of emptiness in the same pot as the direct realization of emptiness. Yeah. Because as human beings, to progress to the path of seeing, one needs to have strong renunciation. And it's only on the human level that one has enough suffering to generate strong renunciation without having too much suffering, that it overwhelms the mind and one becomes unable to practice the Dharma. Yeah, so only to progress to the path of seeing, we need to have very strong renunciation. And so it's only on a human level that we have enough suffering to generate strong renunciation without having too much suffering that it overwhelms the mind. So that's actually the reason given why one needs to be a human to attain the path of seeing. Well, that's, you know, those teachings, they were given at the time of the Buddha. And it sounds, at first it sounds discriminatory, but so if one thinks at the time of the Buddha, if you are deaf, like at the time of the Buddha, nothing was written down. So if you were not able to hear, there was no way to get Dharma instructions, for example. But also in these days, one can make the argument, but the reality is that, it will still be incredibly hard. It will really be disproportionately much, much harder. Not just because how much one can practice, really, it depends on the information. Now, very often for us, the difference between being able to practice and not practicing is just having the information. As soon as we have the information, we can translate it into practice. If you don't have the information, then one can't practice, the mind becomes overwhelmed by the afflictions. But the information, we need to get the information, so it's a very practical, it's not discriminatory, it's a very practical aspect. And since there is probably very little Dharma, actually, if one is deaf, then one can still read, so that's okay. But then also reading, so it's very hard, by yourself. Anyway, so it will just make it disproportionately quite hard. If in these days, if it would be completely impossible, it's hard to, for example, it would be very hard to take vows, if not impossible, or initiations. Because you need to hear the instructions of the teacher. Well, you need to read. No, the sense power, don't worry so much about the sense powers. I mean, you don't need to be able to smell to reach the path of seeing. You need to be able to read and hear. Need hearing, thinking, and reading. The main reason that is given in the text is because to reach the path of seeing, we need to have very strong renunciation. And it is only as a human being that one has just the right amount of suffering. So enough suffering to motivate us, but not too much suffering to be overwhelmed.
When you have the two things, the realization of emptiness, and then you said that, don't put that in the same pot as a direct realization of emptiness.
Yeah. I'm talking about the one is the inferential realization of emptiness, and the other one is the direct realization of emptiness.
And the inferential realization is
Can I say something? No, I didn't. because I have a suspicion I know where this is going. So just one thing I want to say is that in the Tibetan, in the Buddhist terminology, there is not really any concept, there is not really any term for an intellectual understanding. So when they in Buddhism, when one talks about an inferential understanding, we should not equalize that with an intellectual understanding of emptiness. In fact, there is probably no such thing as an intellectual understanding of emptiness. It's not possible. Well, an inferential understanding of emptiness, it is an understanding of emptiness. It is an understanding of emptiness, but it comes about in direct dependence on reasoning. So also, there is a mental image involved. But it's not like.
Is it kind of like it clicks and you sort of get it on a certain level, but it isn't really like the direct realization?
No, it would appear clearly to the mind. So the concept, the inferential realization of emptiness, is a very profound understanding. It is a level of realization, it starts on the path of accumulation at the latest, and then all goes to the path of preparation. On the path of preparation, one would have the union of karma abiding and special insight on emptiness. So it would still be inferential. But the meditation is very subtle. So they say at the end of the path of preparation, at the beginning of the path of preparation, one still, so there is the perception of subject-object. It's like here is the mind meditating, over there is the emptiness. But then they say progressively, they become closer and closer. And then at the end of the path of preparation, the perception to the meditator is as if it is non-dual. So they say somebody that is very advanced on the path of preparation, when they go into meditation on emptiness, in the meditation on emptiness, it is already as if they meditate non-dually. It's only after they come out of the meditation that then they come to understand they're still in cyclic existence and that they need to meditate more. So that's why when we hear inferential understanding, there's not really any concept for that, like what we have in Western terms for an intellectual understanding. What we think as an intellectual understanding is not really like a professor in the university that may hold a lecture about Buddhism, and then he will say, in Buddhism there is this concept of emptiness, which means such and such and such. So he has memorized the words. But that would not be really an understanding of any kind.
So this inferential inferential understanding of emptiness, can that occur before the achievement of karma abiding?
Definitely. Yes. But it is greatly supported by the attainment of karma abiding. So to get it stable, then one needs to have karma abiding. But one doesn't need karma abiding to realize emptiness yet. In Tibet, for some time, what happened was, so they had two schools in the development of Buddhism in Tibet. There was the yogic school and the school of the scholars. And they each had formed, the very particular concept. So the yogic school, they were really, they did not regard analytical meditation as meditation. They would say, meditation has to be single-pointed. Yeah. Why? Why? Because from their experience, they noticed when they started to analyze the object, and specifically emptiness, which is a very difficult object, they could not remain in calm abiding. Which is true. It says like that in the teachings. As a beginner, one cannot do that. One cannot analyze emptiness while remaining in calm abiding. So because of that experience, they felt that the analytical process was actually harmful to the meditation practice. And then one had the other side, so the scholars, they also from their experience, they asserted exactly, they said the opposite. Because you see, they did the analytical meditation on emptiness, and they got some realization of emptiness through that. But then they found, when they then started to meditate single-pointedly, that they would lose that understanding, because they could not analyze while in calm abiding. So they felt, they got to the other extreme, and they were saying, oh no, you need to analyze all the time. So you cannot do the single-pointed meditation. And, what both schools, both parties, they had this misunderstanding, so they did not understand that actually, there were only one step of the whole process, of the evolution, that actually the next step would be to attain the union of calm abiding and special insight. So where the yogi is actually able to analyze emptiness while remaining in calm abiding. So that is seen as the next step, a higher step, a much more super duper effective meditation. I think that may be a good place to finish. Oh, was that according to schedule? Or I can't quite remember. It's good. It went into one flow. That's true, yeah.
It doesn't have to be the whole half hour.
Okay. That's why. Okay. Well, then maybe my suggestion is to have another short break. Let's have another short break, and then then we can do a meditation for half an hour. Or is there somebody that needs to go at exactly 5 o'clock? Or is that like 10 past 5, would that be okay?